Thank you, Jesus. So, Pastor Josh, this will probably be his last sermon before he goes and takes on his own church, and he'll be doing that today. So why don't you encourage him with a round of applause?
Morning, everybody. Could I just have a quick hand if you feel like God is speaking to you this morning? There's quite a number around the room, and already this morning, as even when Emmanuel, when he started speaking, and as we've been listening to some of the, we've been worshipping together, and we've been praying, I just feel like God is just speaking, and he's speaking across the room. And the first thing I just wanted to share with you is this: if you're visiting us today, or maybe you're just watching us for the first time online, I just want to say welcome. This is your home. This is your place. And this is a good place to be. This is where God wants you to be. I just really felt I needed to share that with you if you're visiting us today. If you know me, I get a little bit emotional when I'm preaching, when I feel like God is moving or saying something. So if you see a tear to my eye, it's okay. But I do really feel like God is saying something to us this morning. It's always a pleasure to bring a message to you, because hopefully it's a message that's not from me. Hopefully it's a message that's from God. And but particularly today, this is a special one for me because it is my last sermon that I'm going to be preaching as a member of staff here at Oasis. Many of you will know that I'm going to pastor a church in Erdington. And I keep getting this kind of flashback of Rachel Dewson when it was her last time preaching here and preaching a message here. And she's gone on, she was in a ministry and training here, she got ordained, and then she's gone on and pastoring a church where she is at. And I remember her final message, and she put some pictures up of some gravestones up, and you think, whoa, it's a little bit of a morbid sort of last message. But it's interesting, isn't it? When people reach the end of their life, we cling on to their final words very closely. And the words that we put on their gravestones are also very, very profound. Now, obviously, these are not, and hopefully not, the last words for me that I'm going to speak in my life. Some of what I'm going to share today is from my heart. But more than anything, my words don't really matter. The words that matter are God's words, aren't they? God's words are the final words, and they are the words that really matter. So I kind of want to ask the question and repeat it to you again. Do you feel like God is speaking? Is he saying something to you at the moment? Because I really feel like he is saying something to you. And if you're sat out there and you're feeling like you're a little bit distant from God, I want to say to you, that's okay. It's okay, but I do believe he wants to speak to you. I do believe today, even if you're feeling disconnected, that he wants to have that connection with you. So simply put today, it's going to be a simple message, okay? It's not going to be a profound message. It might be a message that you've heard many times before. But I do believe this is something, and what I'm going to talk today is something that as a church across our nation, we don't do that well. Because if we were doing it better, I think our nation would be a very different place. And that's not to criticize anybody in this room. That's just where we are at. So here we go. Simply put, what I'm thinking today is when I've been pastoring other people, or whether I'm speaking or I'm doing a Bible study or I'm preaching from this stage, one of my biggest frustrations is watching people from a distance, people that choose to become a Christian, yet their life is full of so many distractions that keep pulling them away from their relationship with God. It's like they're kind of living in the same house as God, but they're not present in the moment with God. Does anybody recognize that feeling? I'd say I'm very much at risk of that in our household with my marriage with Luma. You know, even serving in church that should be a good place, sometimes you know, my mind can be so preoccupied that it's hard to be present in the moment. And when you get home from work, I sometimes struggle to kind of even put a sentence together. Even preparing this message today, I'm telling you that it's not my most polished message, because at times throughout this week, I've been really distracted from God. There's been moments where I've been trying to listen to him, but I have been a little bit distracted. So if you were to ask a mature Christian today, what is our purpose in life? They might give you one of two reasons. The first reason might be this: to worship God. The second reason might be something like to share the gospel or the good news to other people. And I think those are all great things. I really do. And they might not be wrong in saying this, but I want to suggest that there is something more than just our mission, okay, or us giving thanks to God. I want to suggest that this has more to do with our ongoing relationship with God rather than the things that we just do for God. And the Bible, it draws these sort of parallels with our relationship with God being like a marriage. And for anyone who is in a marriage, they will know that marriage relationships are sometimes complicated. They take time and effort and energy to make things work. Many, many people, and you'll see this, I've been to a few weddings recently, actually, and they'll say, a healthy relationship is one that keeps no record of wrongs, where both parties continually fall in love with each other every day. But this is the one that I really want to focus on today, and it's this. A healthy relationship is one that learns to communicate and understand each other well. There needs to be this commitment to learning to listen to each other. And that is the same with us and our relationship with God. We have to be committed to learning to listen to God and listen to his voice. And also to pray, to communicate back to him, to speak clearly, to speak what's on our mind back to God. Most people will know, I'm terrible at learning languages. Luma, we've been married 11 years now. We've known each other for 11 years. I was just testing. But we've been married for 7 years. Okay. It just feels like 11 years, yeah. Luma's from Brazil and she speaks Portuguese. And I would love to be able to speak Portuguese so that I could communicate with the family better. But am I very fluent in Portuguese? Not really. Okay. And you see, being fluent takes time. It takes discipline and being submerged in a culture for a decent period of time. But understanding a partner in marriage is more than just understanding the words that come out of their mouth. It's understanding them as a person, their wants, their desires, intentions, personality, even their humour. You know, Luma sometimes just has to give me a look. And I know what she's thinking. I know what she's thinking in that moment. And that takes time to develop. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Do we know what God is saying, even without hearing his audible voice? I'll be honest, there is one reason and one reason alone that I'm not fluent in Portuguese. And that is because it's not been my priority. I've not put the time and the discipline into learning. There are other things that shout louder for my attention. And part of the reason is probably I don't live in Brazil, okay? I'm so far removed from the culture that I don't see the need and I don't prioritize that learning that language. So I want to suggest today that most Christians have a relationship with God. But I can't help feel that sometimes our relationship, and I'm looking at Christians across the globe, in our nation, sometimes our relationship is capped. And let me explain it like this. It's almost like we've been on this first date repeatedly for the last 20 years and have never, ever got past the first date or onto a proposal or marriage, let alone living together. I wonder if the majority of Christians in this country are sometimes on their first date with God. They know of God, they know a little bit about God, but they don't know his inner workings. They don't know how he lives exactly. They don't really understand what his heart is. You know, there's a lot of people that they struggle with. They'll say, why is there suffering in the world? It's a real obstacle to them. But do you know, when we start to understand the heart of God, when we start to understand a little bit more about God, some of those answers start coming out. So how are we going to deepen our relationship with God? We need to spend time with him. We need to learn to understand him. And we do that through communicating with him. Nothing new there. We all knew that, didn't we? But do we do it? Communication is absolutely king. I'm going to share a small paragraph to you in English, okay? And I want to see if you can understand it. Now, I've taken this from the internet. I may not pronounce it very well, but we'll see how we go, okay? A charlatan approached me with subterfuge and sesquipedalian prose. He came to me with sanctimonious and pejorative intent. Even though I was appearing pusillanimous, can't say it, challenging him, he responded with bravado and shared a pretext that was prevaricated, but my God preempted every word and responded, commensurated. Put your hands up if you understood a word of what I just said. I had to look up every single one of those words. I think I pronounced every single one of them wrong. I barely understood it. Who speaks to other people like that? Anybody? No, I'd be a bit worried that you probably don't have any friends if you talk like that normally. But it's like that sometimes when we're reading our Bibles, you know. Sometimes what we read in there, we don't quite understand. It's in English, but we don't understand. We don't understand it. It's not always the common language for us. In our Bibles, we hear of these stories, and Alex was talking to me about this, actually. Was it last week? Maybe last week. In our Bibles, we hear about Jesus spoke in parables. He used his native tongue of the people he shared with, but they didn't always understand his message. In John chapter 10, verse 1, it says this: "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus again said, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come life and have it to the full." Can I just have a quick show of hands? Who feels like they understand that scripture? It's not a test, don't worry. Okay. When you first become a Christian, that might be a little bit of a mouthful to understand. It might be hard to fully understand and grasp the fullness of that scripture. I don't know if you've ever read a scripture once and you thought you've understood it, but actually on the 20th or 30th time you've read it, you're like, oh, I sort of get it now. I start to understand this scripture. And I kind of really want to ask you that question. Do you actually understand scripture? Do you spend time actually understanding it? Or are we actually sometimes like the Pharisees that we're a little bit baffled? Do you know, I keep coming across things in the Bible and I'm like, do you know what? I don't quite understand that. And I have to do some of my research and I have to go back and look at it again to really understand the fullness of it. And I want to say, if you're feeling baffled now, that is okay. If you're feeling baffled that you don't understand the scripture, that is okay. But what I want to say is, if in 10 years' time you're equally as baffled, I want to ask you and I want to challenge you, are you taking your relationship with God actually seriously? Are you devoted to working at your relationship with him? Are you devoted to trying to understand scripture? Are you deep in your marriage with him, or are you still on your first date 10, 20 years later? I meet a lot of people that are not Christians, or sometimes at our youth group we share scripture to people and it's just a foreign concept to them. It's something that they struggle to engage with and they struggle to grasp with. As a child, I was very bad at reading books. In fact, I liked picture books. They were good. I much preferred watching the TV. But I've got a lot better at reading in my 20s. And it sounds simple, but the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. If we want to have an abundant life with God, we need to understand the Bible. We need to understand Jesus. We need to understand the beginnings of time. We need to be reading this book that we have every single day. It's key for our communication with God. These are God's words in here, okay? We need to know them. And I'm guilty of this. I have these scriptures written down on this piece of paper because I don't know them off by heart. Do you know that there's the church in China? They absolutely boomed, probably because Bibles were banned. Yeah, and they would take a piece of scripture and they would memorize it and then pass it on to somebody else. They knew their scripture off the back of their head. And that's still the case, what I believe, in China today. As a child, I always preferred listening to the worship more than the sermon. But I wonder if something sort of has changed. I see this quite a lot, you know, people jump around churches because they're not happy with the church that they're in. And sometimes, you know, things happen that aren't appropriate and yeah, there is the time to move on. But I see this quite a lot happen with worship, you know. The relationship that they have with God is based upon the music that is played. But actually, you see, worship is just a gateway to help us engage with the Word of God. You know, those words that we've sung today, they're truths from the Bible. And when we listen to worship, it's there to help us. It's a tool to help us. The early church, when it started booming in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit met with them and they started meeting in rooms. Did they have a worship band playing all the time? No, they didn't, okay? But we have the luxury of that. Our relationship is not based upon the worship here at Oasis Christian Center or any other church that we go to or attend. Our relationship is based upon our communication with Jesus. Sometimes other things become more important or the priority in our life. I often have this with young people at the youth group. Marcus will know my frustration at the moment because some young people will say, in fact, I had a young person message me and say to me, is the fun night on tonight? And I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to even reply to that message because firstly, every night is fun at the youth group. But second of all, if you're only coming for the fun bit, I don't really want to be wasting my time on you as well. Do you know? I want people that are going to come because they're enjoying it, because they want to be in that relationship. You know, I don't think God really wants us just to come here just because we enjoy that song, those chords, that chord progression that Chris plays. It's just amazing. Only on the one song, yeah. You know, that's not why we're coming. We're coming because we want to be in relationship and communication with God. So the second question I want to ask you on that scripture is this. Do you have this life that's in abundance that Jesus is talking about? I want to suggest that most of us go through moments where God is talking to us, where there is times of abundance, but we often get sidetracked and deceived by what John 10 talks about is the thief and the robber. Just as I've been preparing this message, I would say this week has been particularly hard. I always find preparing a sermon or a message is a bit of a roller coaster because there's things in life that are distracting me from what I feel like God is actually saying. And this week, it's been a battle for me. It has been a battle for me to come up here and present a message to you today. But I believe that every day there is this battle because we have these constant pulls and distractions from the world. We have so many voices shouting at us that we struggle to hear clearly the voice of God. And to top this off, we're kind of submerged in this culture, which is sinful, where there's difficult things happen around us, and sin creeps in, and sometimes we no longer can recognize the voice of God. It becomes like this barrier in our life. We can be Christians, but we're sidetracked. And when God does speak, he instructs us, it can seem like a little bit of a foreign concept of what he's actually explaining to us. We don't fully grasp what he's actually sharing with us. So I guess this is my sort of like plea for you, mid-sermon. Okay, if there's one thing that I wish you could take away from this message is this. Are you in God's culture or are you so removed from God's culture that you cannot even see it staring you back in your face? I know that when I'm in Brazil, I'm submerged in the culture there. I learn more about Portuguese than I do when I'm in England. Okay, but we are in this world, aren't we? But we're not called to be of this world. Do you know, we are part of the family of God. We're part of the kingdom of God. And so we need to remind ourselves of that constantly. This is why we need to be back in the scripture. This is why we need to be back in the word of God. Because we need to be realigning ourselves with God's thinking, not with the thinking of the world. Many of you know that I've worked with teenagers for quite a while, and one of my biggest frustrations is that sometimes you want to share something and you want to teach some people something, and you share your heart, you share what you believe is best for them, yet it's such a foreign concept for them, they just can't seem to grasp it. And I'm sure it's the same for parents. You must feel that frustration. From your own experience, you know what is best for your child, but they just can't see it yet. And I kind of wonder if sometimes maybe God is, you know, we're worshiping away, we're in church some days, and God is there and he's saying, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Because what I have for you right now is the best thing for you. But sometimes we're not just quite grasping it. So where are you rooted? Are you rooted in God's kingdom culture or in the world's kingdom culture? Probably for most of us, there's a little bit of a mix. There's a foot in the culture that we live in. There's a foot in the kingdom culture. As Christians, we're called to be like little Christs. When you face difficult circumstances, how is it that you're actually going to respond? Are you going to respond with a worldly response, or are you going to respond with a kingdom response? I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:1, and this is what we believe when we've been praying. I'm actually going to go from verse 2. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. That's the culture of the world that we live in. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Do you know, we do not fight with things with the weapons of this world, do we? We're called to live differently, and we need to use the tools that we have got. We need to be in communication. We need to pray to God. We need to be reading our scriptures. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes the kingdom of God can seem a little bit foreign to us. You know, for you, if you're visiting today, or maybe you're a new Christian, you might find this whole singing out loud thing, hands up in the air, a little bit crazy, oh, happy day, okay? But you also might find it difficult when we're praying as well, and people are praying out loud. That's a bit of a scary thing, praying out loud. It can seem a little bit illogical. Another example of this might be where you see somebody on the street, I don't know, somebody might be exploiting someone else. Our natural reaction is to intervene, either physically or verbally. But I wonder in that moment, maybe God is just instructing us to pray into the situation instead. It can kind of seem counterintuitive to stop when there's an emergency and to pray. And please, if somebody needs medical help, go and help them, okay? But we can be praying at the same time. It's not always the response that our culture expects and teaches us. And if we spend too much time in the world, we start responding automatically like we do in the world. But we're called and we're adopted into God's family, aren't we? We're called to live like he lives in his household, with his rules, with his boundaries, with his expectations. And God gives us this wisdom that might be contrary to the culture that we live in. Okay? If we spend too much time in a different culture, we tend to pick up and assimilate that into our lives. Okay? So my question is, do we spend more time in God's kingdom or in the world's kingdom? In Romans 12:2, it says this, you will know this well, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't understand God. But sometimes we're so submerged in the culture and we're so separated from God, we can't even think straight to see the way that God thinks. In one of my favourite scriptures recently is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it explains a lot to me why, when you're sharing Jesus with other people, why some people accept it and some people don't. And it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, and it's a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, not even 10 Downing Street. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory, not 10 Downing Street. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those that love him. I wonder if part of our life here on this earth is discovering the things that God has for us. Those mysteries. I think every day God wants to reveal and he wants to talk to us about something. And to understand these things first, we've got to put that time aside. We've got to listen to him. And then it goes on in verse 10 and it says this. Anybody scared of the Holy Spirit? I know that some people sometimes on the Alpha course when they start talking about the Holy Spirit, they're like, oh, hands off for me. That's a bit too scary for me. But it says this in verse 10. These are the things that God has revealed to us by the Spirit. You know, the very fact that you are saved is because God revealed to himself to you through the Spirit. And he says this, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And they cannot understand them because they are discerning only through the Spirit. Sorry, they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Do you know, through the Holy Spirit, we can have the mind of Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no connection. Throughout Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no connection between us and the Father. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal God to us. And it's critical for us to communicate well with God that the Holy Spirit is also upon us. Do you know, as Christians, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to suggest that we need to be constantly refilled. If you're feeling distant, and don't go away from this building today feeling like you're so distant from God and there is no Holy Spirit working in your life. Get someone to pray with you today. You know, when we have the last worship song later, if you're feeling so disconnected, press in. Ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we'll pray for that in a bit. I wonder at times, even as Christians, that we struggle to hear from God because our own spirit is not connecting with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our mind is so active with other things. Sometimes we've been hurt. Sometimes there's the sin element that we just struggle to connect. We don't feel worthy enough. When we have times of disconnect with God, it can be, as the scripture says, that we find the instructions of the Holy Spirit foolishness. It doesn't make sense to us. Just sometimes we can hear a voice from God and we can dismiss it because we think, well, that sounds stupid. That sounds foolish. That doesn't sound like God. But it's because we've been so focused on the practical, the worldly, the way that the world works, that we struggle to actually go, is this the truth of God? We can read this time and time in Scripture. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are out of the ordinary and they're downright illogical in the worldly sense. I'll give you a few examples. Abraham, over the age of 100, was asked to sacrifice his son. Thank God that he found a replacement. Noah was asked to build a massive ark. I don't think he was even anywhere close to the sea. Okay, Gideon was told to lead an army to victory, but before entering the battle was told to send the majority of the army home. Elisha instructs a lady to collect jars and to fill them up, all using a tiny amount of oil. Jesus asked his 12 disciples to feed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish. Ananias, who was a Christian, was asked to go see Saul, who was crucifying other Christians. Why would you go to a place that's going to cause you harm? Paul and Silas were in prison. And they didn't use force to escape. They started praying and they started singing hymns and the doors of the prison were opened. It's not necessarily logical by the world's standards. But in God's kingdom, it makes sense. Emmanuel mentioned earlier about growing in faith. And I want to suggest that if we don't learn to hear God's voice, if we don't learn to hear his instructions, then we're never ever going to grow in faith. We're just going to become stagnant. Anybody here, don't have to put your hands up, but do you feel stagnant? Do you feel like you've not grown much in your faith recently? Now, there's probably a few elements to this, but if we know we've heard from God, so if we've been listening to God in a difficult or even a good situation, and we exercise a level of trust in that area, and we see the situation work out, we're going to grow in our faith because we're going to say, God pulled through in this. However, if we never seek God in a situation and things turn out all right, do we put that down to God or do we just put that down to coincidence? So this is why we need to be praying every single day. This is why we need to spend time with God every day, because we don't know what's going to come up in our day. Okay, unless we're listening to God and listening to his instructions all the time, we're not going to know if that was God moving in that area or it was not God. And I wonder, you know, a lot of people, they try to logic God. They try to understand God. Is God real in my head without actually exercising some level of faith? And we need to be listening to God for that. Let's use Noah as example, okay? Noah was told to build an ark. Now, I presume that Noah at this point had learned to hear the voice of God. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have spent, well, how many years was it, 400 building an ark? 40. Just testing. He probably wouldn't have spent 40 years building an ark if he didn't hear the voice of God. Imagine if he would have thought, oh, this is the voice of God, I'm going to build an ark. 40 years later, okay, God, not sure what's going to happen here. Imagine if it wasn't God. Imagine if it wasn't actually God's voice. You'd be questioning your faith, wouldn't you? But he knew God's voice. He built the ark and God turned up and he did what he said he was going to do. So I'm just going to end my sermon today with just a few questions for each and every single one of us. Are you disciplined in actively seeking God each day? In pursuing your relationship with him? Through all the noise and the distractions and everything around us that's going on, all the things that we want to achieve in life, do you recognize God's voice? Do you know what it sounds like? We read about Samuel in the Bible. You know, it took him 3 or 4 attempts to realize, and he actually had to be told that it's God's voice speaking. And this is probably the hardest one then. When God is speaking, are you good at applying his instructions? Regardless of if the instruction seems foreign to our culture. I think if I was Noah, if God had asked me to do that now, would I actually do it? I don't know. That's quite a big ask, isn't it? 40 years of my life to build an ark. I've really got to know that I'm hearing well from God. And when I am, do I really want to waste the next 40 years of my life? Sometimes that's hard, being obedient to God, isn't it? So I hope, as I've been speaking today, that you don't feel beat up. I hope you feel encouraged. And I just really want to encourage you today and tomorrow, get into the Word of God. Can you believe it? I forgot my Bible today. I'm preaching this message and I forgot my Bible. So I pulled this one out of the youth cupboard and I looked in the inside of the page and I realized there is a name of a young person here which used to come a few times to the church. And it kind of saddened me in my heart because I thought, do you know what? This is somebody that the church presented the Bible to and they've put the Bible down. They've put it down. And so I'm going to be praying this week for this person that they'll pick a Bible back up because this is the truth that's going to change our life. It's going to absolutely transform us. And I just really want to encourage you today, do not put your Bibles down. Keep on going, okay? Keep pressing in with God. And do you know what? It gets easier. The more you read it, you get more passionate about it, the more you enjoy it. And God will start to speak to you. So don't put it down. Worship band, do you want to come up? I'm just going to ask that you stand with me. And we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Can we do that? And if you're feeling particularly distant from God right now, as we're playing this last song, why don't you use that time to really focus your attention on God, to really turn yourself back in towards God, to try and hear that small little voice. It might take you 20 seconds. It might take you 5 minutes. It might take you 5 hours. It might take you a month. But I just want to encourage you, it is well worth it when God starts speaking. Should we pray? Holy Spirit, we wait upon you now. Lord, whether it be a really small voice today that you've been talking to us in this service about, Lord, I just pray that you'll cement that in our hearts, Lord. Whatever that message might be, maybe it's just the one little thing that you want us to go away and think about. Maybe it's the one thing that you just want us to apply. Lord, we want to be able to hear your audible voice, your instruction in this place, in our lives. Lord, we don't want our lives to count for nothing. Lord, we want to live a life that is instructed by you. Lord, we want to live a life that counts towards something, that's going to make a difference. So Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you'll come upon us. Holy Spirit, we ask for more of you in our lives. Come and speak to us today. Lord, if any of us today have felt distant from you, Lord, we just pray that you'll come into our lives right now. Lord, we need you in our lives. We need to hear your voice. Lord, when we feel so distant because we've done things wrong, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord. Whatever that boundary might be, whatever barrier that might be in our lives, Lord, we pray against those barriers. Lord, we believe it in the word, Lord. We come against anything in this room today that comes against our connection with you. Lord, you are the life giver and we need your life. So we come against anything that comes to bring us death. So Holy Spirit, come right now. Come right now, Lord, as we pray. Lord, as we sing, Lord, as we worship, Holy Spirit, come in this place and come and change our lives today, Lord. Amen.